May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's been a while since Ruth and I and our family were involved in an exchange program through the Board of Global Ministry of the United Methodist Church. We swapped houses, parsonages, and churches. I was in England in charge of a three-point charge, which is part of a larger nine-church circuit, while the pastor of the British church came and lived in our parsonage and took care of the church where I was appointed at the time. And they have a tradition in some small towns in England of having parades with brass ensembles and small floats and organizations from the church. And then the churches the clergy would march along in our robes. And so there I was with four other clergy, and we're walking along and having a conversation with the Anglican priest as we waved to parishioners. And I said something that resonated with him, and I'll never forget it. He took his hand and he kind of like this in my face and said, "You are truth." And I thought, well, that's a nice thing to say. It's nice to receive that you are truth. And I thought, well, maybe it's like a lot of other expressions, like, you know, they call the trunk of a car a boot, right? And not the yard, but the garden, right? I mean, different words for same things that we have. And I thought, well, you are truth. Now, truth is at the center of the movie we're considering today, The Post, starring Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. What was the truth about the Vietnam War? Was it in fact unwinnable, and when did leaders of our nation, including the president, know the truth? And the truth is complicated by relationships between the United States and other nations, and relationships within our nation between leaders and between national leaders and the press. And because of those relationships, to say the least, the truth is complicated. The Pentagon Papers were produced during the time frame of 1945 and 1967, spanning four presidential administrations, the Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Johnson administrations, and certainly affected the fifth administration of Nixon. The Post starts, the movie starts on the battlefields of Vietnam, where Daniel Ellsberg, working for the State Department, sees things that make him question American involvement in Vietnam. His belief that the United States government isn't handling the war well is only heightened when he contributes to what would later be called the Pentagon Papers, a study of classified documents commissioned by the Defense Secretary Robert McNamara. Knowing the papers contained explosive revelations, including secrets regarding our inability to win the war that were kept from the American people, Ellsberg eventually copied them and put them into the hands of the New York Times. He then gave the study to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in 1971 and took a step further and distributed the information not only to the New York Times, but to the Washington Post and 17 other newspapers. And just to emphasize that we're dealing with real people, Ellsberg was taken to trial on 12 felony counts, facing a possible sentence of up to 115 years. That was dismissed in 1973 on the grounds of governmental misconduct against him, and that led then to the conviction of multiple White House aides. Hanks said the film took on three major topics that seemed to never go away. The first was Katharine Graham becoming Katharine Graham, the first female CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It's a story of her becoming herself in the issues of equity and equality that go along with that as far as gender goes. That's a quote from Hanks. Katharine Graham was a publisher of the Washington Post and chairman of the Washington Post Company. She was born in New York City and graduated from the University of Chicago. But before transforming the paper into what it is today, Graham was the daughter of the former Post owner Eugene Myers, and she was a socialite, basically. Her father had given her husband, Philip Graham, control of the paper when he died, and then Graham's husband committed suicide, leaving the paper to his wife, who at the time just saw the publication as something for her to hang on to, as a legacy for her children. But she wound up doing so much more. One of her first significant actions was picking Ben Bradley to be managing editor of the Post in 65, and then the executive editor in 68. She, in concert with Bradley, made the decision to print the Pentagon Papers in 71. Despite being told by lawyers to hold off on posting the story, Graham made the decision to publish. She could have gone to jail, along with Bradley and others. And she's remembered as a powerful female in the journalism field. She was a Pulitzer Prize winner and the country's first female news publisher. Second, the movie is about our government trying to keep essentially the truth secret so that they could continue to obfuscate what was going on in the ground in Vietnam. To be sure, lies were told in order to protect American people and inspire them, to keep them, you know, positive and in support of our actions in Vietnam. I'm too young to have been drafted into the Vietnam War, but I had older cousins whose numbers were very high on the draft. And what I remember of that time in history as a kid in middle school and early high school was the news every night posting the death numbers. Do you remember that? Good. I wanted to make sure it wasn't my imagination, but it was the strangest thing, wasn't it? Every night, Viet Cong, 683 dead. United States, 247, whatever. As long as those numbers were in our favor, we felt good about the effort, right? I remember those body counts, feeling secure as long as those numbers were in our favor. God help me. God help us. To me, one of the most poignant moments in the film was a conversation between Katharine Graham and Defense Secretary Robert McNamara. She was informing McNamara, a friend of the family, that they were going to print those Pentagon Papers. And she said, "My son's returned from the war, but there are others there, sons of friends of ours. And you knew. You lied to us all." The third theme identified by Hanks is the attack on the First Amendment, freedom of the press. Actually, I feel compelled to tell you that the First Amendment is first about the establishment of religion and the free exercise of it. At least that's how I read it. The actual amendment is, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press, or the right of people to peaceably assemble to petition the government for a redress of grievances." But this movie is about the free press, not freedom of religion. That's a whole nother sermon. The Washington Post newspaper was trying to figure out both the logistics and the legalities of publishing the Pentagon Papers. Actually, the New York Times was in court, for they had already printed some of them. And they had an injunction between the Attorney General to cease and desist. And Katharine Graham could have gone to jail with her managing editor, but they decided to go ahead and print them. And then it was just at that point dominoes. Many newspapers then printed them. The Post was considered sort of this small local paper in relationship to the Times. It was a major victory for the first woman CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Now, when we consider in our worship planning the movies that we look at for Central at the Cinema, we considered this movie. I thought, well, will it be exciting about it? I mean, you know, It's sort of reminiscent of watching ink dry on newsprint. Was this going to be something that was exciting? It was a very exciting movie, actually. But I knew what scripture I wanted to speak about. The words of Pilate uttering, "What is truth?" Recorded only in John's gospel, and his tone is much more scornful in that fourth gospel than the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In fact, Matthew gives Pilate sort of a complete, he's completely exonerated of responsibility in Matthew's gospel. In fact, it's the crowd who's gathered around Pilate that says, "His blood," speaking of Jesus, "his blood be on us and on our children." In fact, the Jewish leaders blackmailed Pilate into handing Jesus over to death, saying that he was no friend of Caesar if he allowed Jesus to go free. It's complicated. Is there a moment for you, as there is for me at times, when you make a decision and there's a beat? It's a pause. It's a catch your breath moment between making that decision and then living it out. Do you experience that too? It's a scary time, isn't it? Make a decision and then set it in motion. It takes your breath away. It's as if you are summoning the courage to set in motion the decision that you've made in the calm and analytical moment of making that decision. The frenetic pace of the newspaper industry provides this wonderful background for the decision to print those Pentagon papers, and that breath, that moment was palpable at several different steps. For John, recording Pilate's words, "What is truth?" echoes Jesus' words, "If you continue my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, my wife always adds a little more to that scripture. She always says, "It sets you free, but first it's going to tick you off." She's not wrong, right? The truth sets us free when we confront ourselves and what truly is true in our lives, and what the truth of the gospel is, and what the truth of relationships and how they impact our lives, our church, our nation. The Post, the movie, involves telling truth in a very significant way, regardless of what may happen, from the wrath of an angry and vindictive administration to imprisonment. Jesus also told the truth about seeking what should be priority in our lives, and he knows that truth will set us free. And even though I can't remember the context of the conversation with that Anglican priest over a decade ago, I'll never forget his finger in my face saying, "You are truth." Well, you are the truth. The church is the truth. As long as we live into being the body of Christ in the world today. And yes, it's complicated. We're called not only to tell the truth, but we're called to tell the truth in love. But tell the truth nonetheless. To tell the truth so that it will truly set us free. May we all be the truth in the world today as the living body of Christ that so desperately needs that presence. That's the word of God for us gathered here at Central Church in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.